Let's look in the book of Matthew, chapter 1. And I'll probably read quite a bit here, probably the first 15 or 16 verses or so, it looks like. Matthew, chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible here says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares, and Zerar, and Thamar, and Phares begat Ezram, and Ezram begat Aram, and Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Naasson, and Naasson begat Solomon, and Solomon begat Booz of Rechab, and Booz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias, and Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa, and Asa begat Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Ozias, and Ozias begat Jotham, and Jotham begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Ezekias, and Ezekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Amon, and Amon begat Josias, and Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiud, and Abiud begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor, and Azor begat Zadok, and Zadok begat Achim, and Achim begat Eliud, and Eliud begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Mathan, and Mathan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." Now, if that wasn't a mouthful, I don't know what is. Let us look at the book of Matthew, these first 17 verses, and have a little thought here I want to share with you, and I call it, "Yesterday Ended Last Night." Or I guess I could call it this other title I've been struggling with. I could call it, "What's in the past is in the past at last." Praise God. What's in the past is in the past at last. Let me start with my story. You see, my mom's parents went through the Great Depression, and it affected my granny tremendously. It messed with her mind going through that Great Depression. And because of that, Granny hid food and hoarded things even later on after they had plenty. She couldn't seem to be able to grasp living like they had plenty. She still was living as if there was very, very little, and kept things from the children and even later on from the grandchildren. And there were some problems. There was some abuse in the home, the way I understand it. My mom abused somewhat. I'm not sure physically, how it was, the beatings, I'm not sure, I don't know, but I know there was a problem there, and I'd heard them talk about it as I was growing up, and so mom was having these problems. They were hiding food from them, they were some kind of abuse going on. All this is the home that my mother was raised in. My mother went on to have three sons, my older brother, myself, and my younger brother, and my mother left her three sons. She left us at 2, 6, and 7. That was the ages of her three children when she left them. 2, 6, and 7. My dad's father left him when he was born. My dad's mother died when he was 5. My father then grew up in an orphanage and went straight into the army to escape the control of the state. He expected us boys to grow up fast and be tough. I turned around and I grew up, started my own family. I left my two sons when they were about 3 and 5. Does anybody see a pattern forming here? I've got a mother that was mistreated in the home and ended up leaving her three sons. I have a father who his father left him, and his mom died and left him in an orphanage. And And then I have myself that came up to the point that I left my own sons at 3 and 5. And all of a sudden, after my mom's parents being abusive and my dad's parents walking out on him or dying at a tender young age, after orphanages, after all these broken families and broken relationships, I come along and I'm a son of all of these things, and I break my vows and I break my promises to my family, and I leave my children. And then at that point, something happened in my life, and that's the point I want to talk to you about this evening. After my grandparents did what they did, after my parents did what they did, and after I did what I did, Jesus came into my life. Praise God. All of a sudden, the cycle was broken. All of a sudden, the history and the heritage had no effect on me any longer. I was no longer bound to repeat the cycle. Why? Because Jesus came in. That's the only point. Nothing's different. I'm not better than my parents. I'm not better than my grandparents. I have very, very intelligent heritage. In some places, if you go back just right, I have very financial, lucrative heritage. There's lots of things in my past that I never have rose quite maybe to the occasion that they had. But one thing that did happen that changed everything is I got a hold of Jesus in my life. This little story, sometimes we overlook these so-and-so begat so-and-so and so-and-so begat so-and-so, but there's a very good and well-defined reason I find that Matthew 1 and 1 through 7 still exists in the King James Holy Version Bible. It's because this historical genealogy is God's way of telling the world that through Christ, your background literally means nothing. You do not have to repeat it. It does not have to hang over your head. It does not have to keep you bound. How many times, all of you out there listening to me, has the devil came upon you and said, "You can't do this. Look where you come from. You can't live like that. Look what people in your family and in your neighborhood live like. Look how you've lived up to this point. You can't just all of a sudden turn it around." You can, friend, if Jesus came into your life. The whole book of Matthew is about Jesus the King. Every book, especially the Gospels, they all have a theme. And you can trace that theme throughout the scriptures. And the book of Matthew has a theme, and the theme is the kingship of Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus the King. And here it starts out with the ancestry and lineage of Jesus the King. Now look at the lineage. It talks about Jacob the thief, Judah who committed incest with his daughter-in-law, Rahab the prostitute, Ruth the Gentile and the outcast, David the adulterer, the liar and the murderer, Solomon who played the fool with strange women. Some of the worst kings ever written about are in Christ's lineage. There's a bunch of unknown nobodies in Christ's lineage. There's a dirt poor carpenter, and there's a pregnant unwed teenager. You put them all together, and what do you get? White trash? No, not this time. A street urchin? No, not even close. A tramp? No, no, no. What you get is you get a king, not just a king, you get the King, the King of all the ages, the King of kings, the King of all the world. Think about it. Who can be a part of this kingdom of goodness, this kingdom of godliness, this kingdom of splendor, this kingdom of peace? Who does the Bible say can follow this King of glory, this King of love and this King of mercy? Who gets to be a part of this wonderful sweeping of the earth of the goodness of God? Is it someone with a good upbringing? Well, we have Rahab. She was a prostitute, but she still made it into God's hall of faith. Praise God. Well, if it's not someone with a good upbringing, it's probably someone who is of a certain race, color, or creed. Well, let's look at Ruth. Ruth was a Moabitess. She was not white, and she was not a Jew. Praise God. But She's in the lineage of the kingdom of God. Someone who is doing all the right things already. This is the type of person that surely can join into God's good family. Well, David just committed adultery, just committed murder. He had lied. He had proven to be full of jealousy, lust, and pride. But when he finally got humble and he asked forgiveness, the Bible teaches that he was forgiven. Praise God. You can be saved. You can live holy. Regardless of your past, regardless of your race, regardless of your color, regardless of your creed, regardless of what you've been doing, if you come and you repent, if you allow Jesus in, if you follow this King, you can live godly. You can live holy. Now listen to me careful. Somebody out there might misconstrue what I'm saying. We want people to come up in good heritage, good godly heritage. We want people to come up in good church upraising and upbringing and lineage. I want my children to never live the sinful life I live. I want my grandchildren to live like I'm raising my children. I want my great-grandchildren and my great-great-grandchildren, if God tarries that long, to know nothing about nothing of a past that they have to break free from. But don't underestimate the power of the blood when it comes to whether or not you were raised that way or not. It is helpful that you were raised in church. It is blessed that you came up in Sunday school. Thank God I don't want you out on the street sinning and taking drugs and lying and running and carousing around. But I must tell you tonight, there are places in Scripture, just like Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1, that does surely let us know, if you did not have those privileges, if you were not brought up that way, even if you strayed from those privileges and you found yourself out there, friend, look, who could argue with the paperwork of Christ's background? You would say, well, in order to be a part of this church, you have to have done these things. In order to surely make it into heaven, you would have to have done those things. In order to surely be a part of our fellowship, these are the requirements. I'm not worried so much about the fellowship or the church or even so much the kingdom as mankind perceives it tonight. I am worried about the kingdom of heaven that Christ said his kingdom was in the hearts of men and women, and he's allowing us the understanding of Scripture tonight that whatever you did before right now can be left back there, that yesterday ended last night, and today is a new day in God, and what's in the past is in the past. At last, you can be a part of God's royal kingdom, regardless of what you came through to get to this point. Praise God. I feel like I'm telling somebody something tonight. I know this ain't big and long and deep, but you hear Brother Todd for just a minute. The devil loves throwing things up in your faces. This is what you did, and this is where you came from, and look what you just pulled, and you knew better last time. I'm going to tell you, friend, you draw a line in the sand right now. You say, God, I was wrong. God, I messed up. God, I'm not trying to trick you or fool you. I know that would be impossible, but I want to live for you. I want to live right. I want to do better from this moment forward. There's been lots of times in this preacher's life. Sometimes it had to do with sin, and lots of times it had nothing to do with sin. Whether it was my physical condition, my own health I wasn't taking care of very well, or whether it was my relationship with my friends or my wife or my children, whether it was being more diligent to business and financial needs, whether it was dealing with laziness and things that could become sin, or whether it was dealing with out-and-out blatant sin. There's been lots of times in this preacher's life where I had to get up in the morning and start all over and re-pray it through room saying, God, help me. I'm going to do better. I had to make myself notes. I had to write lists. I had to tell myself which chapters I was going to read and how often. There's been times I had to time myself, set my alarm, make sure I prayed a full 30 minutes or a full 45 minutes or a full 60 minutes. I'm going to tell you, friend, God is telling us we are allowed to get beyond our past, to get fresh and new beginnings and new starts and try again. Lots of times we've tried again. Everybody in the sound of my voice has had times when you had to try again. There is nothing wrong with trying again. Doesn't matter if you're trying again for the second time or the 10th time or the 50th time. The only problem there could possibly be is not trying again. Hear me, friend, when the devil throws up everything that happened yesterday, you remind him that yesterday ended last night. When the devil throws up everything that's brought you to this point and all of your past, you remind him that you have prayed, you have repented, you have sought God. God has promised, and you stand on those promises. And once and for all, we look forward and not backwards. And the past is in the past at last. Amen. God bless you.